There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. This is Drive Live. Get in touch with the show.
Text us on 4001.
We're joined by the man I build as resplendent in salmon. He sat staring at the screen intently, and it's a sports hit with a bit of a sad start, really, today, Robbie. We've had some sad news coming from the world of tennis.
We have, yeah. A legend of tennis in the form of Jana Novotná has sadly passed away at the age of 49, a long battle with cancer. She was surrounded by her family. She died peacefully at home. And obviously our thoughts go out to her family and all her friends and all those who knew her, because she was such a character on the tennis court. I actually remember the 1993 final against Steffi Graf, which she lost. I was obsessed with tennis back then. I was about 12 years old. And that final, she led 4-1 in the third set. It was on course to win the tournament and really stamp her authority on the grass court game. She was an excellent serve volley player. Steffi Graf, obviously a legend in her own right of Wimbledon and a multiple Grand Slam winner, who won five straight games. And Jana broke down in tears on the shoulder of the Duchess of Kent that year. And that became a national story. It was on the papers the next day, that image. It became an iconic Wimbledon image. And it had a happy ending to the story, because 5 years later she beat Natalie Tauziat in the final in 1998. And finally, a little bit like Goran Ivanisevic had done on the men's side, after reaching the final a few times, finally broke through at the age of 29 to win her only Grand Slam title, and she was later inducted into the Tennis Hall of Fame. So really sad at such a young age to pass away. We're sending our thoughts to Jana's family and the world of tennis in general, I'm sure is mourning her loss today.
And if we can just move along over to the cricket, India were taking on Sri Lanka earlier.
Yeah, it was a dramatic end to the first test between India and Sri Lanka. It ended up being a draw. Don't see too many of those in test cricket anymore. It went all the way through to a fifth day after yet another century for Virat Kohli, the Indian captain. 104 not out. That allowed India to declare on 352 in their second innings, having turned the test match around. And they set Sri Lanka a target of 231, which it's fair to say they were labouring towards. Finally got to the close of play at 75 for 7. So they had three wickets in hand, but it did mean with no more play left in that test match that it was a draw. And for Sri Lanka, a pretty good result against a team that are pretty difficult to beat at home in the shape of India. So it'll set things up nicely for that second test. And I've got to say, Ash's excitement is building.
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, I don't know if either of you two saw this, but Usain Bolt has been putting the Australian players through their paces ahead of the Ashes. So he's been showing them.
I haven't seen this.
Yeah, he was apparently in Melbourne, and he was giving a few lessons to a few of the boys down there, just showing them how to take a few singles if they really need that come Thursday in Brisbane. So,
well, that's
have a look.
I hope he's from an English point of view, I hope he's been giving them some bad tips, because I think we're going to need all the help we can get. Josh Hazlewood has been speaking to the press in the build up to the first test. It is at the Gabatoir. We discussed it a few days ago, I think, on the show. And I think England could be off to the slaughterhouse themselves, because it's going to be very, very difficult. Australia, we saw what Mitchell Johnson did in the last Ashes series. Australians won it 5-0 in Australia down under. England are the champions, having won the last series 3-2 at home in 2015, but they were whitewashed the last time they were on Australian soil. And Mitchell Johnson took 37 wickets in that series. He is gunning for the England team again, I think, and the Australian players are banking on the intimidation factor, especially at a ground like the Gabba being coming into play. And Josh Hazlewood has been saying that the players are definitely going to remind England of what happened last time out.
Some of them, Robbie, remember, some of them were there. That's the point. So, I mean, this is the thing is, this is part of cricket, isn't it? When you're out there,
old rivalries renewed.
Well, exactly. The sledging's going to happen whether you like it or not. The thing is, Joe Root did not perform in the series that you're alluding to.
No.
So, if you have a man who is now captain, is on form, is scoring runs, 83 the other day.
Yeah.
Maybe that. Will it be the difference? I'm not sure.
Well, we're going to need runs. I mean, from an England point of view, we're going to need Alistair Cook and Joe Root to score some runs. I mean, sure. They are the established batsmen. You look at, you know, whether the likes of Gary Balance can chip in a little bit further down the order. Mark Stoneman needs to come to the party as well and put in a performance, because the thing is, Australia's bowlers, the fast bowlers, Mitchell Starc and Mitchell Johnson, they're going to be taking a lot of wickets, and we need our boys. I'm unashamedly biased here, because I am well trying to be neutral, but obviously I'll be cheering England on, and I fear for our chances. I really do. I think Australia at home, at the Gabba, it's a must-win test for England, because I think if Australia get off to a good start and they win that test match, it's going to be very difficult for England to win the Ashes.
Prediction? Robbie Greenfield, prediction? For the series rather than the first test.
I will say 3-1 Australia.
Okay.
Do you know what? That's a great sign. It means England are going to win, because Robbie's predictions have been abysmal of late, including the golf. Yeah. No longer the golfing guru. So
no, that's Chris McCarty now.
Yeah. I think that England might be in with a chance, Robbie, on that basis.
Well, based on Robbie's prediction.
Well, that's what I'm banking on. That's
someone who is just not in with a chance of anything at the moment. Tony Pulis, West Brom have had enough. Get out.
Yes, they have. The 4-0 defeat at home to Chelsea on the weekend was the last straw. A little bit harsh for your last game to be against the Premier League champions. They were always likely to lose that one, but I think the manner in which they lost it, and it's just been a slow decline in the standard of football and the results that West Brom have been getting. Tony Pulis turned up at his final press conference armed with stats. They finished 10th in the league last year. That was their highest ever position, and you know, he feels that he has done a good job over the time, but you know, not to win in 11 games is just not something that you can continue. And the problem with Tony Pulis is, because he plays an attritional style of football, which is results-based and results-based only, when you don't get the results, you've got no other thing to fall back on. You can't turn around and go, well, we look good. You know, we pass the ball in pretty patterns around the pitch and we're wonderful on the eye. No, they're not wonderful on the eye, and they've been very poor this season as well. They're just a point above the relegation zone, and I think the owners of West Brom have had enough, and Tony Pulis has been sacked today. So I think Gary Megson, the assistant, Tony Pulis's assistant, will take over until further notice. And the fifth manager to be sacked this year already in the Premier League. What are we? We're in November, so the season is...
Oh, we're
five
on course for 12,
old.
13.
Yeah,
we're
one a month. We're ticking over at one a month. And if you look at the appointments, and if you look at the sackings that have taken place so far, David Unsworth's installed as the temporary manager for Everton, and David Moyes coming in at West Ham. Certainly, he's got a lot on his plate to reorganise that side. They were beaten 2-0 convincingly on the weekend as well. There doesn't seem to be that much available managerial talent out there. It's hard to know where West Brom are going to turn, but we will be debating it on Monday Night Football from 7 o'clock with our special guest Mikel Silvestre as well, and all things football coming up a little bit later from the Down Anchor.
Okay, just finally, the end of the race to Dubai, the World Tour Championship yesterday wrapped up. We had a quick word with Chris. How was it for you, Robbie?
Oh, I loved it. It was a fantastic week. It's such a good tournament now. That event, I would put that right up there on the UAE sporting calendar. It's right up there alongside, for me, the Emirates Dubai Rugby Sevens. Maybe that, for sheer longevity and for the sheer colourful kind of atmosphere and the carnival nature of the Sevens, that's a unique event. But the DP World Tour Championship is right up there now. You look at the crowds, that they were extraordinary. I'm keen to see the final figures released in terms of spectators, because I'm sure that will be a record this year. So Thursday was busy, you know, it was a work day. Clearly people don't have jobs out here in the UAE, or they're able to certainly take some time off work. But the weekend was packed and it was busy for the final round yesterday. Great winner in John Rahm, a man with a huge future, 23 years of age, and we'll be following his progress with a lot of interest. And Tommy Fleetwood, a bit of an unlikely hero for the race to Dubai. We saw the cruel side of golf as well, with the capitulation of Justin Rose, and it had everything really. It was a fantastic tournament, and it's weird. I mean, the golfing season will start up again on the European Tour in just a couple of days' time. They head down to South Africa, and before you know it, we'll be out. They'll be out here again for the Abu Dhabi HSBC Golf Championship in January. So it just it starts the start of a run of fantastic golf tournaments out here in the Middle East.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.